I'm Christopher Lighton. This is The Whole Wide World. Yo-Yo Ma, the global cellist, is our guest this hour. He has rewritten the Kipling line of a century ago that East is East and West is West. Yo-Yo Ma is proof that the twain don't just meet each other coming and going now, they intertwine each other out there in the world and in here in hearts, in personal stories, and in art. The Whole Wide World is a conversation about the global riddles of identity, technology, and power in a perilous time. In this hour, it's about culture, specifically music. It's about the human impulses, when strangers meet, to reach across the fear and unfamiliarity of the moment and make music in counterpoint and harmony. Listen for an alternative in all this to the so-called clash of civilizations. Yo-Yo Ma here is an invitation to a renaissance. Yo-Yo Ma was born in Paris into a Chinese family that was heading west. His parents pointed Yo-Yo and his cello to the European classical music of Bach, Haydn, and Brahms, and then to Harvard College and a superstar career in American concert halls and record charts. But his road has circled back to performances and epiphanies in Asia. With the Chinese composer Tan Dun, he made the soundtrack of the hit movie Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. For Sony Records, he threw himself recently into the Silk Road Project to distill the contemporary musics along the ancient trade routes connecting Japan to China to India to Persia to the Caucasus and North Africa and Europe. Before that, he'd been exploring with his cello to Africa, Argentina, and the Appalachian U.S. So he is a global celebrity who's also a global searcher, scouting for the roots of music in human nature, and in the Mongolian reaches of the old Silk Road, turning up unearthly new voices. Yo-Yo Ma, I keep wondering who gets to have a voice in this new, rather concentrated global culture. Obviously, your singer Ganbatar Kongozal has a voice in this culture.
She does, and we call her Zola for short because otherwise it's just too long to pronounce her whole name. And Zola is 27 years old. She just got married. She's from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. And the way that people discovered her voice was when she was singing one day to herself, not at all musically trained.
Not herding sheep or anything?
Actually, probably. She comes from a large family and rides, and I know she does. But someone heard her singing and thought it was a voice from the radio. When they found out that it was a live person at the next yurt, literally, she got a scholarship to go to art school. And we found out, and since we've worked with her, she has just thrived and blossomed and developed more and more, learning English, singing better, and dealing with audiences, smiling.
Learning to coach you on the cello,
Now teaching me how to play the morinhor, which is the horse head fiddle, an instrument that has, literally, instead of a scroll, has a horse head, which I think of as a precursor to the modern cello. So people who have talent, who have something to say, who know something deeply from some place, But when you look deeply enough in that one place, often you find that what we think of as the very thing that comes from that one place comes also from other places.
There are other roads out there besides the Silk Road, and Yo-Yo Ma has been down a lot of them. He went to the Kalahari Desert in Africa, and he had his Argentine tango period. And with the fiddler Mark O'Connor, he's made some popular Appalachian recordings like this college hornpipe.
I keep thinking of the kind of circular relationship between West Africa, the Caribbean, American jazz. How many more are there, and how many more do you want to do?
Well, you know, I'm not about doing volume, but I think my activities are obviously really informed by three things. Just being born as someone from Chinese parents, in France, living in the States, that's a multicultural experience from childhood on. My education and my experiences as traveling as a musician, I meet people, and when something that I can encounter gets really, really exciting, and if someone takes me to what is so exciting about that place, I will then start to investigate. I'm doing something on Brazil right now. Worked with this summer with fabulous Brazilian musicians. I'm a citizen, U.S. citizen. I know so little about our neighbor to the south. I got to find out. And since I love the music, I'm going to start and investigate. And over the last 2 years, you know, just been listening to a lot of people. And finally, last summer, it just all the knowledge and accumulated into one place, and we made a recording. And that triangle that you talk about, the you know, jazz or West African music, Cuban music, and includes Brazil. And why is Brazilian
music... Includes New Orleans, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. New Orleans, Cuba, West Africa, and Brazil. Why does one music develop into jazz, another, what becomes Cuban music? And why is Argentinian music different from Brazilian music? You can examine that from, you know, cultural, historical context, and you can actually hear it in the music.
Of course, this sort of thing has happened before, as when Stan Getz's jazz horn married Brazil's bossa nova in the 1950s. Paul Simon's Graceland album was inspired by the South African chorus Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Louis Armstrong went to Ghana and discovered that he was really Ghanaian. Dizzy Gillespie went to Cuba and found Chano Pozo, the percussionist, who changed his music forever.
I wonder, as you listen to these things and know the history, what are these sort of dips back into the exotic that strike you as most moving and most authentic? And to be blunt, I mean, not gimmicks.
I think that I make just a difference between consumerism and participation. Mm-hmm. You know, like if I really want to listen to great Brazilian music, I can go and buy lots of CDs and appreciate it. That's, you know, or go to a club, I can go meet musicians. But to actually learn what happens from the inside, I have to participate. It's so the invitation for really knowing something. It's like you're dropping into Ghana, you're dropping into Jamaica or Singapore and dealing with what you know here, radio, communication, and finding out what is someplace
generally,
else.
Even when I'm participating, I'm just listening as hard as I can. Well, you probably are too.
But it's a huge learning process.
I listen to the Silk Road CD, and I'm fascinated by the many duets you do in there, but also just individual voices. Shane Shanahan fascinates me. He's no Central Asian, but then Wu Tong, Wu Man. What are these confrontations like?
Well, we just came back from Italy. We were in Florence, Milan, and Rome. Shane Shanahan was asked, as an ensemble member, to create a piece. He has gone for many years to Turkey because he loves Turkish music. So he speaks Turkish, and he came up with a melody, a piece, and within 2 days, it became a 10-minute piece. And just created
just
on the spot, working it out, band music. Shane is one of these people who can play a Kurdish song with Persian musicians, Iranian musicians, and just read what they're doing and get into the groove. As a tabla player, as he plays the kanun, he plays many, many instruments. Wu Tong, he plays the sheng, which is a mouth organ. It sounds like an organ. It's a Japanese instrument. It's a sho. We think of the sheng as a Chinese instrument. It actually comes from South Asia. So it traveled and then became a Chinese instrument the way we know it. Its origins are elsewhere. Wu Tong is one of the great traditional musicians of China. He's 30 years old.
But also a bit of a rock star.
And he's a big rock star, huge rock star in China. So the fact that he can travel with us sometimes and play with us, and he just is a great musician. He's a great performer and a great musician. How do you categorize him? We can't find the words in our language at this moment to categorize what he does.
Duke Ellington's greatest compliment to call someone beyond category. That's where we're all trying to get, right?
I think so. I think we're actually trying to describe certain numbers of people that, or to describe a certain reality that now exists, but we actually don't have the words. Wu Man is another person. Like Wu Tong, she plays the pipa, which is a pear-shaped lute. And the pipa, its origins are from the Middle East. It was the oud that became the lute in Europe and became the pipa in China. And the only difference, as Wu Man explains, is that the oud you play at a 45-degree angle with and over a 1,000-year period, it moved to the east. And by the time it went to China, you actually play with the instrument pointing straight up. So it took 45 degrees, 1,000 years.
And it's like just a young saxophone or something.
Exactly.
What's the test for you, applied to yourself but also to them, of the musicians that can transcend, that can get beyond a native scale or structure or head?
Someone who is deeply passionate about the thing that they know, the tradition or the style that they know, and who is also generous and curious. Those are the criteria. Mm. Generosity is unbelievably important. You can't stay inside yourself and participate and learn something new. Curiosity, generosity, ability to somehow having, or at least having a wish to be involved in something else. I think those are crucial characteristics.
Next, how Yo-Yo Ma got his groove back with Persian and Brazilian drummers. You're listening to The Whole Wide World, produced in association with WGBH Radio Boston from PRI, Public Radio International.